Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Every person is going to live forever. The question is, where will you live? According to the Scriptures, your final destination depends upon who you believe Jesus is. Do you know where you will spend eternity? Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 6 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola helps us discover the answer to this all-important question in his study of verses 9 through 11.
And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. So here the scene changes now from earth to heaven. The voices of tribulation martyrs cry out to God for vengeance. We know that as the tribulation period unfolds, many souls are going to come to the knowledge of Christ. And yet there are going to be many who are going to be martyred during this time. The Bible says in Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We know that during the tribulation period, that the main method of martyrdom is going to be that they will be beheaded. The witnesses for Christ will be beheaded. We read this in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. But I want us to see that the souls of the martyrs here are resting in peace under the altar, and there abide until the resurrection, at which time they will be reunited to their bodies. And this once again teaches us how the real you is not your physical body. The real you is your soul. And you live in a physical body, a temporary tent. The Bible teaches us that every single person, every single human being has a soul. And you, my friend, you as an eternal soul will spend eternity somewhere. Either as a repentant, redeemed soul who's trusted in Christ in glory with the Lord God forever, or as an unrepentant, unredeemed soul in the lake of fire forever. And it all depends on who you believe Jesus Christ is. Notice that these redeemed souls were clothed with white robes. And here are those robes of righteousness, which coincide with the wedding garment of Matthew 22, verse 11 and 12. And it speaks of the imputed righteousness of Jesus that is given to the person that repents and believes upon his name. White, of course, is the color of a wedding garment. It's also the color of heavenly victory. But what I want us to focus on this morning is why these followers of Jesus Christ were slain. The Bible says that they were slain for the word of God in Revelation 6, 9, and for the word of the testimony that they held. This is both encouraging, it's also very, very challenging. The word testimony is going to be the subject of our message this morning, subject of my exhortation. The Greek word that is translated in English, testimony, is martyria, which in other various Greek forms can also be translated as witness, or to give evidence, or bear record. According to Daniel Webster, the word Webster or witness describes an individual as someone that attests to a fact or to an event. They are an actual eyewitness. And so a witness, biblically, is a person that provides evidence that something is real, that something is true. And with this definition of what a witness is, What was this testimony for which the followers of Jesus were persecuted or slain or martyred? Well, at the very beginning of this book, we read in the first two verses, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record. See that Greek word there in one of its forms. Record of the word of God and of the testimony. There again, that same root Greek word. Of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, John writes, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony. There it is, that Greek word again, of Jesus Christ. And so it is pretty clear from these passages that the reason John was banished to the island of Patmos was because he bore witness to the record of Scripture that Jesus Christ was the Messiah who bore our sin in the cross, that he was alive, and that he had risen from the dead. In fact, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is one of the foundational doctrines of our faith. If there is no resurrection, there is no gospel. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 1, when they were seeking the replacement for Judas Iscariot, that beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, that is the Lord Jesus, must one be ordained to be a witness. Notice that Greek word again, martus, with us of his resurrection. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 33, we read, and with great power gave the apostles witness. There's another form of that Greek word, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the proclamation of the Apostle Peter was, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Again, that Greek word for witnesses. When the Apostle Paul was converted, the disciple Ananias was told to give him this message from the Lord Jesus. The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou should know his will, and see that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. For you shall be his, there it is in one of its forms again, his witness unto all men of what you have seen and what you have heard. And so the testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the refusal to deny him as Lord before men was the very reason why the dead religious authorities were threatened by these people and the Roman government persecuted them. In the book of Acts chapter 4, we read in the first three verses there, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now evening time. It should be pretty clear from these passages that we've read this morning that the church wasn't some secret covert society meeting underground. They were very much out in the open. They were very visible. They were very vocal about Jesus Christ. And as I was looking up the cross references relating to this word testimony and reading about how these saints that were persecuted and martyred, the passage that really hit home to me in the Revelation was Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, where it reads, and they overcame him, that is the reign of the Antichrist, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. See that Greek word for testimony, martyria. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Very, very challenging. This loving not their lives unto the death is going to be the testimony of the saints during the tribulation period, when they will not be able to buy or sell anything unless they take the mark of the beast. In the book of Revelation chapter 13, we read in verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Because these saints love the Lord Jesus more than they love their very own lives, they chose martyrdom over denying him. You know, it's one thing to talk with great bravado standing behind a pulpit in a pretty friendly environment. It's quite another thing to talk about living for Christ unashamedly and unafraid, and prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice, if God should deem it so, when you step out of these church doors into a world that is hostile against Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, when the kingdoms were divided, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, there would be references to some of the kings, and they would say something to this effect. And they followed the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. In other words, they weren't fully devoted to the Lord. They weren't fully surrendered to the Lord. And one of the things that we see in Scripture is that as the redeemed of the Lord, our lives are to be fully yielded to Him, fully surrendered to Him for His purposes and for His glory. We know that with the exception of the Apostle John, all the rest of the apostles and many of the early church saints faced martyrdom because of their testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. We know from the study of the history of the church in the first 3 centuries that by and large, many Christians were martyred because they refused to burn incense and worship the Roman emperors as Lord. We also know that today, at this very hour, there are Christians who are being persecuted and martyred because of their faith in Jesus Christ and because of their open profession of faith in Him. In fact, one of the magazines that I receive is The Voice of the Martyrs. And at the beginning of the year, they sent out the publication, and it's the publication of the persecuted church, the Global Report. And in this publication for this year, a few months ago, according to the Voice of the Martyrs, there are 40 restricted nations on planet Earth today. Countries where government policy or practice prevents Christians from obtaining Bibles or other Christian literature. Also included are countries where government-sanctioned circumstances or anti-Christian laws lead to Christians being harassed, imprisoned, killed, or deprived of liberties or possessions. And then there are 12 nations that are considered to be hostile areas, large areas and nations where governments consistently attempt to provide protection for the Christian population, but Christians are persecuted in many ways, shapes, and form. Thus far, we've looked at the record of the souls of martyrs that will be given over to the Lord, you know, in the book of Revelation during the tribulation period. And we read the account in Scripture and to this present moment of people who make the ultimate sacrifice of being martyred for the Lord. And so here we are today, 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Do you have anybody from the government follow you here today? Threaten you if you came and worship Jesus Christ? Probably not. And in one hand, I thank God for the freedom that we have, for the liberty that we have in this nation. I think we should really, really pray. I don't know how much longer we will have that. But the jury is still out on whether or not us having these freedoms is a good thing or a bad thing. And I want to talk this morning about what it means to be a testimony for Jesus Christ as Christians living in the year 2010. And here's what I want us to see this morning. Here we are. We didn't live in the first century. We're not living in the first century. We were not eyewitnesses of Christ's life on earth. We've never seen Jesus Christ, but the Bible is very clear that everybody that has been redeemed by Him is called to be a witness. Our lives are to provide the verbal and living practical proof that Jesus Christ is Lord. The question has been asked, and I believe it's a fair question. If living for Jesus Christ was a crime, how many of us would be in prison? If the federal government were in the middle of the week to make a law that doing what we do now was illegal, would we be here next week? Would I be preaching what I'm preaching? Questions that are necessary to ask. Because the reason that these early church followers of Christ were persecuted or harassed or martyred and are today is for the very thing that you and I are doing freely now. What if it were to change? How would we live? Well, what I would like us to look at today is what it means for us to be a living testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it look like? What does it sound like? Remember how in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul in his last prison epistle says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So what does it mean in one sense to not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord as it is spoken of in these passages? Well, it means that we will not be ashamed or afraid when the opportunity arises to share with people the gospel of the grace of God. It means that we will not be afraid or ashamed to share how God saves us, not according to our works, but according to his free grace and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And so that means that at times there is going to be three things that we're going to have to come to grips with. One, it's going to mean telling people that they are sinners who will not go to heaven unless they repent of their sin and fully trust in the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time that we realize that we're sinners, that we see our need for a Savior. You can't get around this. You can't, there's no seeker-friendly, nice way to tell somebody that they're a sinner. And yet we know that that is necessary before we see a need for a Savior. So what do? Some people hide behind religious systems. Well, in that case, it means telling people that adhere to either Protestantism or Catholicism as the means of salvation, and no religious system in and of themselves can save them. There are people that believe, well, I'm saved because I'm a Baptist. I was a Presbyterian. I'm a Catholic. Being any one of those things does not save you, not unless you have repented of your sin and trusted in Jesus Christ. Well, there are those people that believe, well, all religions are the same, and as long as I'm a part of some faith, then I'm going to be, you know, in heaven with Christ forever. Well, it means telling some people that no other name other than Jesus, as he is revealed in Scripture, can save them. It means telling them that all other religions or faiths are false religious systems that have no saving value whatsoever. We can't get around any one of these things. The testimony that was the cause of the early church and today of being harassed or persecuted or martyred was these things. A non-compromising message that Jesus Christ is Lord. We all know that we're living in a very, very tolerable age, aren't we? Every kind of message is being tolerated, of course, except for the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We're living in an age where I'm a good person, or all religions or all roads lead to God mentality is very, very popular. And in that kind of a mindset, the message of the cross of Jesus Christ is not a popular message. How do we know? Well, in the Bible, people were martyred. People were harassed. People were persecuted. And they still are today for that simple, simple message. This gospel was testimony of the apostles and the early church, and it was the cause of their persecution and martyrdom. Now, when you and I say such things as Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no way unto the Father but by him, we will be perceived as being narrow-minded and fundamental. And yet, we can't change the gospel. We can't come up with a new gospel. We can't modify the gospel for our day and age. There is one gospel. that hasn't changed. It's the same gospel. It's the same Lord. It's the same world that we live in. And thus, we need to get back to the scriptures, and we need to be living our lives and sharing the faith as it is revealed in scripture in a loving way, in a powerful way, in a compassionate way for the glory of God. Well, what is it that we are called to testify to? Matthew 24, verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness," there's that Greek word, "unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Now, this sounds to me like Jesus is telling his church that the gospel is to be preached in all the world unto all nations. All nations? You mean even those 40 restricted nations? You mean even those 12 hostile nations? Do you realize what it will cost to do that? Of course. Do you think the Lord Jesus realized the cost? Of course he did. We have to preach the gospel to all nations, to every creature. We have to proclaim the gospel, the witness of God, that there is a true and living God who sent his Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gospel that saves sinners, the only one. There is no other gospel. Amen? We read in the book of 1 John, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." In other words, we are called to bear witness of who Jesus is, that men might come to the saving faith of him by grace of God. These early church men, women, leaders, during the first few centuries of the church, and even presently, they preached Christ. Christ has come. Christ was buried. Christ risen, Christ coming again. The message was simple. They pointed people to Jesus. And evidently, back in the days of Paul, and even to this present day, there was a lot of name dropping. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of this person, I'm of that person. You won't get persecuted if you're called to be a follower of this man or that man or this group or that group. But if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to find yourself right in the dead heat of the battle. They preached the name of Jesus. They preached the gospel that bore his name. All right, now, so we get fired up. We get challenged. We get encouraged. So are we to interpret what I'm saying so far as a battle cry to leave this church building, go out into the world, and be as obnoxious and rude as I possibly can for the glory of God? Yeah! Let's go out there and get them for Jesus. Let's just make these big signs. And as people are driving by 500 Main Street on Sunday, turn or burn, stop the car, pull them out. Point the fingers at them, put them down, be obnoxious, be rude, for the glory of God. No, no, no. That's not what Jesus teaches us. However, may I exhort us this morning to simply do this. Let's be lovingly and unashamedly bold for Jesus Christ in our sharing of the gospel and how we live out our faith day in and day out.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Sila, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.